so excited to announce soon one of the best esports titles that will join the competition that the International Sports Shooting Federation is partnering with Fortnite through the creative mode to open a competition for the Olympic Esports Series in 2023.
Hey, what's going on? I hope you are well. So this is a conversation with Vincent Pereira, who is the head of virtual sports at the International Olympic Committee. They've just announced something pretty huge that you heard at the beginning of the chat there, that shooting sports has joined the lineup in partnership with the International Shooting Sport Federation, and it will take place on a specifically designed Fortnite creative island. It's going to see 12 players from the 2023 Fortnite Champion Series. That's their big esports event in Fortnite. They'll be invited to compete on the global stage. So this is a pretty massive moment for esports, which has been exploding for a good few years now, and the actual Olympics esports series is happening as a four-day event in Singapore, opening on the 22nd and with live finals on the 23rd, 24th and 25th of June, which will be live streamed, or tickets to attend are available now, which I'll link below. There's also a chance for plenty of the events to enter yourselves. Lots are open to amateurs, which is very cool indeed. Really enjoyed this chat with Vincent, and I'm definitely going to try and qualify. It'd be rude not to, for sure. A very quick reminder just to hit that follow button on your podcast platform, and you can check out the full video on YouTube as well. But for now, let's get into it. Vincent, good to have you on the show. First of all, you've got an incredible job title of head of virtual sports at the IOC, which is very cool. So tell us a little bit, what does that job involve?
Thank you, Luke, and first of all, thank you for inviting us to your podcast. Really happy to be here talking and chatting with you for some minutes. So I'm part of a team within the International Olympic Committee Sports Department to help and guide the implementation of one of our key strategic recommendations with the overarching ambition of supporting the development of virtual sports and gaming within the Olympic movement, as well as really exploring all the ways to connect and interact with the gaming communities. And how the key part of the job is the launch of the new brand, Olympic Esports, which includes, of course, the first ever Olympic Esports Week in Singapore, taking place in June 2023, and the Olympic Esports Series, which is going on at the moment. So the majority of our day-to-day involved all working with the local organizing company in Singapore, and also all our stakeholders from international sports federations and game publishers to deliver an exciting competition.
Yeah, nice. We're going to get stuck into that because a lot of people might not know exactly what's happening. And I love that you can get involved as an amateur as well. So anyone can kind of enter for some of the events that are still open, which is cool. Before we get there, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about Tokyo, because this isn't the first time esports have been involved in the Olympics. It happens in Tokyo and about 250,000 people entered. So what happened that time and what's different this time coming for Singapore?
Yeah, I think the background of esports with the Olympic movement back in 2018 already, and some activations also done by some of our top sponsors like Intel, that did a lot starting in Pyeongchang. In Tokyo in 2020, we had the Intel World Open. That was an activation done by Intel regarding esports. And in 2021, ahead of the Tokyo 2020 Games, we have launched our first global virtual and simulated sports competition with five federations and publishers, that we saw 250,000 participants from across 100 countries. That was really a good pilot for us, a good first step into esports and virtual sports competition. And building on these successes, this is why we have launched the second edition, renamed the Olympic Esports Series. Very excited that the numbers of event has already doubled in size, with archery, baseball, chess, cycling, dance, sailing, tennis, taekwondo, and motorsports, which was also like really great titles like Gran Turismo, chess.com, that has already well-established esports communities and stage. And the idea for us is really to try to develop also other possibilities for international federations. And yeah, super excited. And this was just the first announcement. And we are super excited to go out also next week with other titles that will be very exciting for the esports community, part of the competition. We'll have one good news next week, and also part of the exhibition that will go out with titles that are really close to the traditional esports community.
Nice. Yeah. And before we get stuck into this coming esports Olympic series. When you think about esports in general, obviously it's been around, it's been a gigantic movement for a long time now, and it's got huge global communities. But for someone who's kind of come into this new, maybe they've seen this happening for the Olympics, can you just set the stage for what is happening generally in the esports world? Because it not everyone is aware in it, and it's a pretty massive thing that's happening, right?
Yeah, of course. Like, esports world is massive globally, regardless with billions of people watching it, millions of people playing, and the esports level of the traditional esports games is really huge. But for the Olympic movement, virtual forms of sports also are usually exciting. We just have to look across the world sports ecosystem to see virtual forms of sports growing everywhere, and the impact and the potential impact across multiple touch points, including virtual reality. For example, we have seen a lot of amazing games going out for tennis, American football, golf, that are really exciting, table tennis. So we have seen a lot that will be also showcased in Singapore next June. But we're seeing more participation in virtual form of sport. For example, if we're talking about just chess, that will be part of the competition. 10 of its top 15 tournaments last year by peak viewership was online tournaments. That was really showing how is it important. Same for the number of people going on Zwift for cycling, for example, or Gran Turismo. If we're just checking the different stories and the bridges that we can make, for example, for Gran Turismo, Lucas Ordonez, that was our Gran Turismo player that leads to the first, I think, winning of the Gran Turismo Academy competition. And then he went on a race on the track and he had a podium finish at the 24 hours of Le Mans. So just showing also that these kind of bridges exist. Same for cycling. We have seen Ashley Moolman, that was the first Zwift Esports World Championship winner. And she was also a 3-time Olympian. It's just showing that these kind of stories exist. That's amazing to see the bridges that they can create in sports. Also, like, the athletes are using virtual forms of technologies in sports to train every day. In boxing, we have seen also, like, there is a lot of training that you can do with the VR games, and some boxers are using it for the warm-up and putting the headset and training and warming up with the new game. So there is a lot. It's really exciting to see that we are just at the beginning of something really, really big, I think, in the coming years, even if the numbers are already super exciting and going high.
Yeah, for sure. I managed to overextend my arm on a boxing game on VR because I was punching too hard. Like, but yeah, it's amazing because it puts everyone in, gives everyone a bit of an experience of what it's like to compete at sports that they maybe wouldn't be able to potentially, or just, haven't got the time to train fully. And that is like the coolest thing, or one of the coolest things about all of this, is that amateurs can enter to compete to make it to Singapore, which is so cool because it throws up all these questions of, kind of ripping up the rule book of maybe having to be like in your 20s at the peak of your athletic career, which is obviously amazing, but suddenly it's like anyone can have a go at this. And yes, not gotta be amazing, but in theory, I love the idea of like somebody, an older person in their golden years, might just be really good at some game and then they're competing on the same stage as everybody else. So talk to us about how amateurs can maybe get involved in the Olympic esports series. I know some events have run, but some are currently running, and is there more to come where people could enter?
Yeah, sure. The qualifiers have started mid-March for some of the sports, and for archery, baseball, chess, sailing, tennis, motorsports, we will have like open qualifiers online where everyone can join. Chess, they have already opened 10 opening tournaments with a capping of 2,000 participants for each tournament, and they were full in a minute, which was really exciting. And Gran Turismo qualifiers will start on 27th of April. That is, again, a super exciting times for people to try to qualify and to experience the global atmosphere of the Olympic esports series. And yeah, the numbers are really going high. Baseball, for example, they have like already multiplied by 5 or 6 the numbers of players that participate for the first Olympic esports event that we had, the first competition. The qualifiers are going really, really well for everyone. And for the others, it will be invitational based on previous events, esports event they have done, like cycling, for example, or part of some global leaderboards at some times.
Nice. Okay. And talk to us about a couple of the events, maybe the ones that you like or one that you'd recommend to somebody who's coming in new. I was playing Tennis Clash, which is obviously the tennis esports game, which is a mobile game, so anyone can kind of pick up and play that. What kind of game would you recommend or do you like playing that's kind of easy to get started with?
I think, yeah, really depends. There, of course, like, mobile games are easy to take. This is also why in our life choices for the games, one thing is important to remind to also because we have been criticized for some of the games we have chosen. And one of the things is that one of our requirements that is part of our global mission is that all the games need to be linked with an international federation. First is creating a space for them to enter these communities and trying to create new opportunities for them to develop their sports. And I think mobile games, tennis, archery are easy to take and to at least start and begin with. And other are really, really hard. If we're talking about Gran Turismo, difference between the top drivers and an average player, it's really high. And this is also showing how the level of the competition will be. Same, for example, if we're talking about archery during the qualifiers, we have done an offline qualifier that was linked to a world archery competition. And it's the current Olympic champion that won this qualification round. So just showing that also the skills we need are also sometimes really, really close to the real ones.
I'd not have thought about that the traditional Olympic athletes can get involved with esports and they'll probably be really good at it. It makes sense. Yeah, that's fair. I wanted to ask as well, like, one of the coolest things about kind of esports and virtual sports is that it opens up access for other people. So have you heard any stories of people around the world who maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to compete in a physical sport? Maybe that's because of disabilities or maybe it's because of other reasons. Like, is there any cool stories there where people have kind of taken the stage of esports and that's been an awesome thing?
I think one of the best example we have is our previous Olympic esports winner for Gran Turismo, Valerio Gallo, an Italian player that just is just doing esports, and maybe also because of a lot of things that the accessibility of motorsports, for example, is really hard. It's also sometimes not part of your family tradition or whatever. Like, but it took Gran Turismo and play with a huge discipline and a huge mindset to reach the best level, and you compete and you won the first Olympic esports series, and now he is like returning to try to keep his crown on our next edition. So there is a lot of stories. There is we have done also a lot of stories about esports players and FIFA players, for example, or others that are really going into esports also because they're really fans of the sports they are playing online. But then it's just like also the life doesn't give you sometimes the possibilities to reach the best level in trying traditional sports, and we can make these bridges happen at some point.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. And then talk to us, if you were to qualify through to the finals, there is a live esports final happening in Singapore. Is that right? What's that going to be like? Paint a picture for us.
I think it's great to remind what the Olympic Esports Week is globally. It will be like really a 4-day festival in Singapore with the competition. And as you mentioned, the finals will be played on stage, broadcast with some attendees at the venue to watch the finals. The best players competing on stage and also having some exhibitions where our idea is really to put on stage some non-traditional sports games. Like we are finalizing and we can announce that we'll have like Rocket League and Street Fighter, for example, part of these exhibitions that are games that are really part of the esports community and also align and reflecting Olympic values. And we'll have like a huge free-to-play zone that will be a 7,000 square meters free-to-play zone where we'll have different activations from golf simulators to NBA 3-3 court with NBA 2K that will also be part of the exhibition for some good games. And yeah, I think it's really about bringing the best of sports and esports together from a sports world perspective to Singapore and create an event that will be exciting for all the attendees that will come around. Like, we are expecting around 20,000 attendees over the 3 days that will enjoy the moment.
Yeah, that sounds class. I need to get out there. That sounds like a fun 4 days for sure. Is there some sort of opening ceremony and that kind of thing? Is what kind of scale are we talking here?
Yeah, we're trying also like to bring some of the codes that we have, and we also to celebrate the players and celebrate Singapore in a way. So of course we'll have like an opening ceremony, a closing ceremony there, and players will receive trophies that will be gold, silver, and bronze trophies on stage depending on their performance. But yeah, this is clearly something that we want to do. to also like elevate what we are doing, improving what we are doing year after year, and staging the standards for also the 2024 edition that will come.
Nice. Yeah, it all sounds amazing. So thank you so much for talking to us about it. And where can people go if they want to find out more about potentially getting out to Singapore or competing in the remaining events and stuff like that? Where should you send people?
Everything is on the website, olympics.com, on the esports category entry. And yeah, we are so excited to announce soon one of the best esports titles that will join the competition that the International Sports Shooting Federation is partnering with Fortnite through the creative mode to open a competition for the Olympic esports series in 2023. So just also showing to the esports community that we are fully respecting everyone, and what we want is creating this bridges with our requirements, our global mission to support the development of esports within the Olympic movement. But the bridge that we are doing with the International Sports Shooting Federation and Epic Games with Fortnite creative mode, it's really part of what we want to do in the future. So everything you will find on olympics.com and also on our social channels, where everything will be broadcasted in June.
I love how you just dropped that in there at the end. That's huge news. That's so cool. So yeah, that's it's going to be a massive deal. So really excited for that. But yeah, Vincent, thanks so much. That's that was an awesome chat. So appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. And I hope to see you in Singapore, maybe.
Yes, would love to. I'll be well up for that. So yeah, hopefully see you there. Cheers, man.
Thank you, Luke. Bye-bye.
So there we go. I hope you enjoyed that one. Thank you very much to Vincent for coming on. All the info you need about the Olympics Esports Series is in the description, along with the links to Based AF as well, where we explore the future of humans and technology on YouTube and on this podcast every week. So thank you for listening, and I will see you for next week's episode.